Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're digging into some critical security intelligence this week. And today, we're focusing on a finding with really significant implications for pretty much any organization using Microsoft 365.
Yeah, this one's a big deal. Researchers at Tier Zero Security uncovered it, and it hits right at Microsoft Teams, you know, the platform where so much work actually happens now. It exploits a subtle but really fundamental flaw in how authentication data gets handled.
Okay, let's jump right into that. Our goal here is to really break down how this vulnerability works, why maybe some sophisticated defenses are missing it, and crucially, what you need to do right now to protect your communications.
Definitely. And the main takeaway, the sort of aha moment here, is this. An attacker doesn't need admin rights. If they can compromise a system with just standard user privileges, then basic access after maybe a phishing attack, they can potentially grab the keys to the kingdom. Specifically, they can get at and decrypt sensitive Teams authentication cookies. That gives them full control over that user session.
That's genuinely alarming. It means the initial breach could be pretty low-key, just basic access, and suddenly the attacker is logged in, acting as a legitimate user. So why does this gap even exist? What's the design difference here?
It's interesting when you compare it. If you look at modern browsers like Chrome or Edge, they have really robust protection for cookies. They use system-level processes, high privileges needed to access that data. It's like needing a special key that only management has.
Right. A high bar for attackers.
Yeah.
But Teams, even though it's built on similar Chromium tech, doesn't use that same level of protection. How does that work?
So Teams uses Chromium, via the MSEG WebView 2.exe process for rendering content. But for protecting its session cookies, it leans on something called the Data Protection API, or DPAPI.
DPAPI. Okay, and architecturally, why is that the weaker link in this chain?
Well, if the browser protection is that special management key, DPAPI is more like the regular house key for that user. It's accessible by pretty much any process running under that specific user's account. The cookies themselves, they're stored in a standard Scrooge-lite database. But the encryption key for that database is protected only by the user's DPAPI master key. So the moment that standard user account gets compromised, the attacker has what they need. They can grab the cookies, decrypt them, and they never needed to escalate to admin rights on the machine itself.
That's a critical distinction. But hang on, didn't earlier reports mention that getting these cookies was difficult because the file is locked when Teams is running? So the researchers needed a clever way around that, right?
They absolutely did. It poses a real challenge. How do you access a file that's actively being used, locked by the application, without just, you know, killing the Teams process? Because that would obviously alert someone.
And that's where their specialized tool comes into play. The Teams cookies BOF thing.
Exactly. So for those listening, a BOF, or beacon object file, is a small compiled piece of code. It's designed specifically to run within command and control frameworks, like Cobalt Strike's beacon. The key thing is it's stealthy. It runs within another process, minimizing its footprint and avoiding a lot of basic detection methods.
And the cleverness is where it runs. They execute it inside the actual ms-teams.exe process itself.
Precisely. By operating within the legitimate Teams environment, it avoids scrutiny from security tools that are mainly watching for suspicious external processes trying to poke at Teams.
Okay, and this directly addresses the lock file problem. How does running inside help with that?
This is probably the neatest part of the whole exploit. Previous attempts often failed because they tried messier ways to get the file, maybe crashing Teams in the process. This new method uses something called handle duplication.
Handle duplication. Sounds technical. Can you give us an analogy for that? How does that trick let them access the locked file?
Okay, imagine the locked cookie database is like a document currently open in Word on your computer. Word has it locked, right? Handle duplication is like the attacker finding the internal reference, the handle that Teams is using to keep that file open. Then they essentially create a copy of that handle for themselves. It's like getting a second perfectly valid key to access the document without disturbing Word, or in this case, Teams.
Wow, so they duplicate the permission slip, basically.
Exactly. Once they have that duplicated handle, they can read the encrypted cookie data from the database. And since they're already running as the compromised user, they have access to that user's DPAPI master key needed for decryption. It becomes straightforward.
And boom, they have the user's authentication tokens.
And that's the critical point. These aren't just any tokens. They are powerful authentication tokens for Microsoft 365 services. This isn't just about reading messages anymore.
Right. It's full impersonation.
Total identity impersonation within the scope of that user's permissions.
So let's connect the dots. Once an attacker has these decrypted tokens, what's the potential damage? what can they actually do across the broader M365 environment?
Well, first and foremost, within Teams itself, they can completely impersonate the user, send messages, join chats, potentially spread malware or phishing links internally. And critically, they can read all the existing chat history available to that user.
But it doesn't stop there, does it? Because M365 is so integrated.
No, absolutely not. These tokens often work beyond just Teams. They authenticate against the wider Microsoft ecosystem, particularly through the Microsoft Graph API.
The Graph API, the central nervous system for M365.
You got it. Accessing the Graph API means the attacker could potentially interact with the user's Outlook emails, their OneDrive files, SharePoint sites, basically anything that user has permissions for within Microsoft 365.
And this is where it escalates quickly into post-exploitation, right?
Yeah.
A single user's compromised tokens become a launchpad.
Correct. Attackers often combine these stolen tokens with frameworks like GraphSpy. These tools are designed to automatically scour a compromised user's M365 environment. They look for sensitive data, configuration details, maybe even credentials stored insecurely. It rapidly expands the attacker's foothold and helps them find ways to move laterally or escalate privileges within the organization.
We need to give people concrete things to look for. Given how stealthy this is running inside Teams, what are the warning signs security teams should be hunting for?
It's tough, but you need to look for subtle anomalies. Unusual activity from a user's Teams account messages that seem out of character, maybe probing questions to colleagues. Technically, you need advanced monitoring. Look for unexpected or weird API calls to Microsoft Graph originating from that user context. Things like setting up new mail forwarding rules or suddenly accessing files they don't normally touch. And of course, keep an eye on logins. If these tokens are used from unusual locations or networks, that's a major red flag.
Okay, this clearly needs urgent attention. Let's shift to defense. What immediate actions should organizations be taking, knowing this attack uses low privileges and hides inside a legit process?
First off, your standard signature-based antivirus probably won't catch this reliably. The malicious activity is happening inside ms-teams.exe. You really need advanced endpoint detection and response EDR solutions. And not just any EDR, but one with strong behavioral analysis capabilities. It needs to be tuned to spot things like that handle duplication technique we talked about, or unusual processes accessing those specific cookie database files.
Beyond the endpoint tools, what about the bigger picture architecturally?
Zero trust principles are key here. Don't just trust because someone is logged in. Continuously verify identity, but also device health and compliance before granting access, especially to sensitive stuff. Also, crank up your login. You need comprehensive advanced logging across Microsoft 365. If an attacker does use Graph API, you absolutely need that audit trail to see what they did.
Right. And regular security assessments, penetration testing become even more critical to find these kinds of gaps.
Definitely.
What about the longer-term strategies? Layering defenses to make this exploit path harder.
Well, the fundamentals become non-negotiable. Multi-factor authentication, MFA, everywhere. For every user. While the compromised token bypasses the initial MFA prompt, strong MFA policies can still limit token lifetime and scope, especially if conditional access is used well.
And conditional access policies themselves.
Absolutely vital. Use them to restrict access based on more than just credentials. Check device compliance, location, calculated user risk score. Make it much harder for a stolen token to be useful outside very specific conditions.
How do we stop those BOF tools or similar things from even running in the first place?
That comes down to application control or whitelisting. If you can prevent unauthorized code, like these specialized BOF files, from executing within your environment, even inside Teams, you block this specific technique. And don't forget network segmentation. If a breach does happen, limiting lateral movement is still crucial.
Okay, let's try and bring this all together. What makes this Teams vulnerability particularly concerning is that combination, right? Low privilege, entry requirement.
Just standard user rights.
Leading to potentially massive access via Graph API, all while hiding inside a legitimate process using clever techniques like handle duplication.
Exactly. The technical side, the handle duplication, it's clever, but it's important to remember that whole chain only gets started after the attacker gets that initial foothold on the user system. And how does that usually happen? Still, overwhelmingly, it's phishing, social engineering, the human element.
Which brings us to our final thought for you, the listener. Consider this. The exploit itself is technically sophisticated, requiring deep knowledge of Windows internals and application processes. But all that sophistication is only needed after a potentially simple failure, someone clicking a bad link, opening a malicious attachment.
So what does this specific vulnerability really highlight about the absolute unavoidable need for continuous, effective employee security awareness training? Can even the best EDR, the best zero trust model, truly protect an organization if the human firewall remains the easiest point to breach? Something to think about.